This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So last week, I think, was one of our best episodes ever, but we're not getting a super amount of comments on it. Don't people want to find new ways to do UFO research?
I don't know. It's hard to figure. Usually the ones that generate all the responses are the controversial ones that people have a bone to pick. If it's a good episode, people just kind of nod their heads and don't have anything to say. What can you do? Like today will be a great show with Chase. She's quite a little powerhouse. You know, she's well grounded, so it'll be interesting to see what the kind of response we get from today's show.
Now, you've been in touch with Dave Cote.
Correct.
About his project, which of course is to put a low orbit satellite CubeSat for detecting UFOs, and you're talking to him about the software, particularly because you've had problems with the San Luis Valley project over the software.
Yeah. You know, I've kind of explained a couple times here on past shows that we have a team of postgraduate students in Italy that have been working, the NGRIP team has been working 10 months on the software, and they've pretty much dialed it in for nighttime, but you know, we're having problems with separating ground clutter, other types of objects, like if they're following something that's fairly close to the ground and a car drives by, it all of a sudden kicks off and starts following the car. So there's some sort of ID trick that we need to do. And Dave, he works for Google. I mean, the guy really knows his stuff. He sent me a whole bunch of code, and I went ahead and forwarded it on to the team. So I'm waiting to see if that's going to help. And also Marcia Adams, who I'd like to get on the show at some point. She's a chemist that has a real interest in earthlights and, you know, Paul Devereaux type stuff. Was a consultant for the Hasdalen project and worked with Valet and others. Very, very bright and open-minded scientist. She turned me on to the guy that did the software for the Hasdalen project. So we have a two-pronged approach that we're trying to remediate our our problems with the motion tracking. But it's like everything else. It's a process. And when I met Douglas Trumbull down at the Congress, I kind of wished out loud, boy, it'd be sure nice to get a hold of some of that state-of-the-art military targeting software. And he goes, there's a will, there's a way. It's not impossible. I mean, you know, he's kind of hinting around that maybe there's a possibility of, you know, maybe getting something off the shelf that has already been paid for by our tax dollars. I don't know. He didn't come right out and say anything, but he did kind of have a twinkle in his eye, and he said that it's you know, maybe easier than you think. So we're moving along with it. Again, it's three steps forward, two steps back. But anybody out there that is interested in helping out with formulating a crowdfunding effort, we're about at the point now where we think that big influx in cash so I could hire people to do things instead of relying on their free time and good graces. If anybody out there has some experience doing Indiegogo or YouFundMe projects, do contact us and let us know. And we want to get that ball rolling here this spring and really kick it up to the next level.
Just think here, though, Dave has experience with crowdfunding, so he may give you some advice there.
Yep.
Now, part of it is here that some of these crowdfunding methods require that you don't collect the money until the project is successful, whereas others you can take money out as you need it.
Right. It's that kind of thing. I think Kickstarter is one of the ones that it's got some tags attached and some conditional stuff. You have to raise, I think, the amount that you are going for in order to actually collect the money.
Kickstarter especially.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about Indiegogo. I think it doesn't matter. And GoFundMe definitely doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's why I use those two crowdfunding, you know, scenarios as an example. We have been contacted in the past. I need to go through my emails. I did have a guy last year that contacted me and said, look, when you're ready to pull the trigger on this, you know, give him a holler. So I need to go ahead and dig up his information, because we've been relying on people's free time, and people have lives, they have families, they have jobs, and a chunk of change is going to move certain tasks and projects from the back burner to the front burner. So that's definitely what we're going to be doing. And also I want to work through the university there in Alamosa, Adams State University, to see if we can create a project in conjunction with the school and the astronomy department, let's say, or one of the social science departments. Unfortunately, Dr. Lynn Weldon, who was my longtime friend there, he passed away, and I would already be working with him if he was still around. But for you cat lovers out there, plug your ears. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So we're pretty excited. The weather's breaking up there in the valley, so we can really get going full speed with the project. And a nice influx of cash to get FLIR, to get our magnetometer, to get our gravitometer, to kick around ideas for radar. I think this is all, you know, we're ready to start parallel tracks going. Now that we think we've turned the corner on the software issues, it's good to keep the other stovepipe elements of the project going. And to do that, we need some cash. You know, our off-the-shelf camera equipment, for instance, is so obsolete now that there's, you know, we might as well just throw them on eBay and start looking at higher-res cameras. We're also thinking about doing our self-contained LAN, so it's just a self-contained system that communicates with itself, and then use the master feed to go to the Paracast server, then have the switchable image up on the internet for public viewing.
Now, let me just tell listeners before the eyes glaze over, a LAN is a local area network, okay?
Right.
Do you actually have a budget in mind right now?
Well, yeah, we do. It depends. You know, it's staged. The budget is dependent on what aspect of the project that we're talking about. The initial triangulated array plus the monitoring equipment, the gravitometer, recording magnetometer. We're going to have an extremely low and very low frequency recording set up with some pretty sensitive PZM mics, which are plate mics that go onto a slab of a nice cube, a 4x4x4 cube of concrete that also is where the gravitometer is going to be. And you know, so we have these scientific monitoring ideas. And then if we add, you know, this motorized platform that pan and tilts, we could use that for like active radar, marine radar that's actually pointed up towards the sky instead of horizontal to the horizon, parallel to the horizon. And also, you know, if we go FLIR, I mean, that doubles the price. So we're looking at initially $60,000. And then if we go FLIR, it's going to be around 100,000. So we need to get all this dialed in. We do have quite a well delineated out business plan that has all the gear requirements and approximate cost and everything costed out. One of our principals, Wayne, he used to procure sensitive classified materials for aerospace, and also was a contract officer and contract lawyer for the CIA. And so he has a lot of experience in this type of work. And I leave all that kind of costing out stuff and acquisitional stuff to Wayne. I'm the cheerleader. I try to keep everybody motivated and come up with the ideas for the actual experiments that we're going to be doing. And, you know, we need flight aware. You know, we need sat tracker. There's a lot of things that are going into this, and it's not as cut and dried as just having some cameras up there for, you know, oh wow, gee whiz type optical footage. That's the least of our, you know, the footage that we need.
Okay. Tell us about our guest.
Well, I met Chase a number of years ago, very vivacious, just, you know, a bundle of energy, extremely knowledgeable. She has a background in, she's a private investigator. She's deputy director of MUFON. She's written a book that I highly recommend called Admissible. Her and Richard Dolan came up with a very well thought out instruction manual of how to become a field investigator. And it has, it's a field manual for professional applications, strategies, and methods for UFO, paranormal, and unknown biological investigations. And this book is really, I dove into it, and it's just an absolute goldmine. And I think that Chase is going to, I think, do really well with this if we can get the word out about this book. And it's very well written, very well laid out.
Chase Kletsky, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
I know that a lot of our listeners are interested in UFOs, the issue of giant skeletons found in America, paranormal investigations, and what the top researchers think about such topics. One online magazine has been presenting such unusual information since 1985. It is Alternate Perceptions Magazine at apmagazine.info. Use their search function to find articles on just about every topic imaginable. That's apmagazine.info. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu. I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Little Rock, Arkansas, Saturday, May 14th, 1 p.m. Go to www.cdocinarkansas.com. That's cdocinarkansas.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We welcome Chase Kletsky to the Paracast this week. Please be calm and collected, Chase. Have you done a lot of radio before?
Yes, a little bit.
She's host of the Fate show.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I'm hosting.
She's been doing her own show for several years now.
You know, I think they once asked me to do a co-host thing for Fate, but I don't know what's happened there. In any case, Chase, we always ask this question for new guests, and that is, first, tell me your background, because Chris mentioned you, of course, as a master trainer. Now, what is a master trainer?
A master trainer is a designator for a job with the Department of Defense, and I'm accredited biomechanics engineer. And so basically my job with the DOD was designing programs that specialized in getting the active duty ready, or, you know, even Homeland Security or the other kind of agency personnel for specific type missions, or it's a special adaptation for imposed demand. In other words, if, you know, they had something special to do, it was my job to get them physically, emotionally, and psychologically ready for the success of a mission.
Now, is this a military mission or what?
It would be a military mission, or some sort of government, because I also design programs for Homeland Security, most specifically the MIST teams, which are kind of the SWAT teams of the Coast Guard. And right after 9/11, when Coast Guard was transitioned into Homeland Security from the Justice Department, I trained most of these 9/11 units to be prepared for that type of assignment, because it was special ops of the Coast Guard.
Ooh, this is deep and heavy. Does that mean you have to have various security clearances to do this?
I did not. I did really interact with the personnel, you know, one-on-one. I was given an outline of what was needed, and I would design a program. I really wasn't allowed to keep those programs in writing, but I never had a failure, so I'm excited in all those years. And literally supervised, designed the programs for over 10,000 troops. Never had a failure, so I'm good.
Wow, that's impressive.
Moving to private investigator, where's the transition here? How does that happen?
The private investigator is something I never worked as a trade or a job. I went to private investigator school as a way to hone in some skills for UFO investigations. I realized that I really liked being out in the field, and I needed better interviewing skills and, you know, kind of those little tricks of the trade, and not going to a police academy or, you know, doing a full college course in criminal justice. I decided my easiest option was going to be private investigator school. And of course I went ahead and qualified, took the test, and licensed through the state of Virginia. It's not even, it expired years ago, which was okay because I did it for the education more than anything.
We realize a lot of people out there want to become UFO investigators. We'll get into more of this. But when you're interviewing a witness and someone's had a really strange thing happen to them and there may be a lot of emotions involved, what mistakes do neophytes tend to make in trying to become investigators and talk to people?
Probably the most common is the language. You have a witness that's describing something they've seen. It's not supposed to exist, but they're describing a very large craft, and someone will get excited and say, oh my gosh, you saw the mothership. That's a big, huge no-no. Two, the second mistake.
Leading the witness.
Okay, so that's very common. Yeah. That's also when we argue about hypnotic regression for abductees. The big problem is deliberately or accidentally leading the witness. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, absolutely. The terminology needs to be dispassionate and professional. I think the second mistake is asking questions, just as you mentioned, is leading and keeping them to you know, those specific open questions. How, what, why, where, when. We want to get very specific. Probably the third mistake new investigators make is inserting themselves in the story. They feel like they need to share their experiences with the witnesses and or making an opinion that, yeah, it sounds like you're being abducted, or before any real research and background is done. So those are kind of the common mistakes in the dialogue.
Now, I had understood here, and I'm probably wrong, that sometimes in dealing with a reluctant witness, sharing something of yourself may relax them. So is there a way to do that without, as they say, upsetting the accuracy and reliability of the information?
Sure. And that would be to share things like, I've also seen things I can't explain, without being specific. You know, letting them know that you're in this field, and although most people think that UFO investigators are trying to prove UFOs are real, most of us out here are just trying to get to the source of the anomaly or, you know, the unknown sighting. Most of the time we can explain these and what the witnesses have seen, but the best way is to not be specific, but let them know that you're there to listen and give them that attention.
I assume you record all these sessions, right?
Mostly. There are times when we're asked not to, especially on an initial investigation, especially when you report things on the internet or it's a phone conversation and they don't know you. We've learned that as the trust is developed between the witness and the investigator, the recording is necessary at some point. Absolutely. It's a testimony that we need the witness to tell their story on the record.
Now, how do you look for deception? There's an assumption here that a lot of people who report UFOs are faking it, which I don't think is necessarily true, except for very few cases. But how does an investigator talking to people consider signs of deception? Where do you see people who might be just making it all up?
A lot of that can come through an interview, and you're looking for contradictions. They're very confused with timelines. It's almost like their story isn't straight. Then there's a second process of an interview that's called cognitive interviewing, and that's where you have your witness repeat the story, but you start at the end or you start in the middle, or you hone in on one fact and have them explain what happened from there backwards. There's several of those clues. And, of course, there's other things we do as we advance the investigation forward, you know, looking for evidence, cooperation.
You know, I a slick kind of way of doing that is I stumbled on this method by accident. I thought I had hit record on my recorder, and they went through the whole story, and I looked down and realized it wasn't recording. And I said, oh, my, I can't believe it. I forgot to hit record. I hate to ask you this, but could you run that by me again? I felt really embarrassed, but then when I realized, whoa, this could be a good, effective method. So I tried it a few times, and there was something about the individual or their descriptions that, you know, I felt maybe there was something kind of screwy about it. Then I would accidentally not record and have them do it again. And I never did really catch anybody. I always had the exact same story repeated to me, so I guess I've been lucky. But that's kind of a sneaky way of doing it, which I discovered completely by accident.
We're going to have an accident if we don't break.
Okay.
We have Chase Kletsky. We have Chris O'Brien. Happy birthday, Chris O'Brien, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro-1 G2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special, or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Hey guys, Pat Matthews here to tell you about the newest and best way to sell products online. It's buysellmakeoffer.com, an enormously revolutionary way to sell your stuff online. It's time to clean out the garage, your old golf clubs, sports equipment, tools, and yes, even your car. Forget about the way the other guys have taken more than their share from you when the sales were finalized. Look, it's happened to me over and over and over. Then I found buysellmakeoffer.com. They will never charge you item fees. Just go there right now to sign up and load all your stuff to our server to sell. This is not an auction site. Sell your car. Sell your home. Realtor, sign up now. Just use our resources along with Skype and videos, then add your creativity to sell your items quickly and with no fees. Go right now to buysellmakeoffer.com and sign up. The excitement is building. I've signed up to sell my stuff with buysellmakeoffer.com. You should too. Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I understand Chris's birthday is March 24th, which is when we're doing this episode. We have investigator Chase Kletsky from MUFON. She's telling us about her tried and true investigative techniques, and we were honing in on matters of deception. But before that, what areas of eyewitness testimony are people less able to give accurately? I heard from one investigator it's timelines. It's very difficult. Well, how long did you see this object or this phenomenon? Is that correct?
Sometimes. My experience is that the hardest thing for witnesses to even agree on, if there are multiple witnesses at an event, and that is the size of an object or how high it was. I think that's very difficult for people to be exact. You know, there's little triggers that we use or little tricks, you know, hold your hand out, would it be the size of a golf ball and, you know, things like this. But if there was one thing that was most difficult, it would be how high was it? You know, what size exactly do you think it was?
I found that duration and sequence, what happened first, what happened second, what happened third, tends to fluctuate. I always use that, holding an object at arm's length. And I said the full moon is the size of an aspirin held at arm's length. An aspirin would cover the full moon. Tell me how large the object is. And I tend to get pretty accurate descriptions from person to person in a multiple witness account. So I didn't find that to be as much of a problem as the actual sequence of events and duration.
Well, the sequence of events, I have forms for that, so I can track their sequence of events. If you're talking about the interview process where, they can't remember, well, wait a minute, did that happen first? I really haven't found that much. And when I'm talking about, the size of an object or how high it is, even for someone like me, well, was it 12,000 feet in the air or was it 10,000 feet in the air? And that 2,000 feet is a big deal, or that 200 feet is a really big deal when you're trying to calculate, things from, low Earth orbit satellites to drones. I think it was, for me, it was that.
Yeah.
Sometimes the fact of the distance of the object, the speed of the object, and the size can separate something conventional from unconventional. And one example, one notorious example would be the Kenneth Arnold sighting on June 24th. 1947, it sort of started the UFO phenomenon for a lot of people. In people looking at the research later on, if you look at what Arnold said about the distance of the object and everything, it's unconventional. However, some suggest that maybe if you consider the possibility of error on Arnold's part, that may show that this may have been something conventional like a test aircraft, but it all depends on the distance and the speed. If it's going too fast, then it cannot possibly be conventional.
Absolutely. And Kenneth Arnold, I believe, being a pilot would be considered a trained observer, especially in the air. So his testimony on the speed, the distance, would be more likely to be accurate than mine sitting in a passenger seat in the aircraft. So that's why we like the pilots and trained observers as police officers, military personnel. They tend to be our kind of golden witnesses in ufology. And yet, as Chris will tell you, you just don't doubt, the 60-year-old lady in the a farm in Kentucky, because that wouldn't lie for anything. So, it really is up to the investigator to take responsibility when they accept a case to really work it, and that also includes credibility and honing in. If we're having a problem seeing that the size of an object or the distance or speed is something that's hard to calculate, we document that appropriately, that these are estimates, and why we believe that that witness might have a hard time with that discernment.
Does the factor of previous sightings impact how you judge a case?
Yes, and it shouldn't, but it does. There's been times when, you take that UFO report and you're out talking to the witness and you're looking around and all you see are UFO books and, UFO DVDs and magazines, and, they've done so much research. And it will cause a bit of concern, although it doesn't necessarily negate the investigation or form an opinion at that moment, but it is something we consider.
Yeah, it's almost like wishful thinking. One of the things that I found is there are people out there that just desperately want to have an interesting sighting or some sort of inexplicable experience, and they lust after that. So that tends to raise the possibility that someone may be reading more into a mundane event, let's say, than is warranted. So, yeah, I agree that can be a problem. I find that more in suburban and urban context. Out in the country, you don't have that as much. And most of my investigative work happened, out with farmers, ranchers, people like that. Yes. It's when you get into the towns that you get more of the quasi-hysterics who have Venus beaming them and communicating with them or something.
I always wondered about someone beaming at me. That would be really crazy. When you do these interviews, and when the people at MUFON do the interviews based on the training, do they also look into other possible strange encounters, not just UFOs? Maybe you saw a ghost. Maybe you saw Bigfoot. Is that ever considered or looked into?
That would depend on the individual investigator, but it is MUFON's policy to just investigate UFO reports. We don't like to mix our sciences, and I don't mean we as a MUFON, as communities. You even, if you know, you find yourself in a Bigfoot community, bringing up the possibility that a lot of these Bigfoot sightings are, you know, usually precursed with, you know, strange lights in the sky. Could it possibly be UFO? And, oh, the meltdowns, right? People don't like to mix their sciences. And for MUFON, you know, the policy is more to stay within the scientific agenda of UFO investigations. However, over the decades, we're also fully aware that it's very common for people that have had an experience or are allegedly have had experiences or contact that they're plagued with paranormal type activity that is not normally associated with UFOs. So, you know, this is a learning process as we study this phenomena over the decades. But I agree. I don't think they're all related, meaning paranormal cryptids and UFOs. However, I believe the physics behind some of this phenomena is related.
So that's, of course, just making an assumption at the beginning that they aren't related. Why do that?
Well, I don't. There's no evidence that they're related. However,
no evidence they're not related, is there?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I hadn't really thought about it that deeply, but you're absolutely right. I just, you know, if people report certain incidences, you know, we tend to focus on that. However,
it's a fine line between having blinders on and being open minded and open to the possibility there may be some sort of connection. I had 7 Bigfoot sightings in 8 days, and they were preceded and I guess followed by a wave of UFO activity, and there was actual activity during that week period as well. So it was very difficult for me to keep these events in the same region, compartmentalized. To me, there was a connection coincidentally or, you know, just incidentally. And also I've noticed strange weather. I've noticed aberrant social behavior. I've noticed other things that tend to ebb and flow with outbreaks of inexplicable reports, shall we say. And so we have to be open-minded to that. But, of course, yeah, you don't want to be mixing apples with oranges.
Well,
unless there's cause.
Let's hold that response, Chase, to our next segment. Folks, please check out the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We offer the After the Paracast podcast as part of that package exclusive to members of Paracast Plus. We've also begun to add complete show transcripts for several of our most popular episodes. We recently introduced a Paracast Plus video channel. We will have a special section for classic Paracast episodes at the Paracast Plus. Plus.theparacast.com. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
This is Sharon Hunt. Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic. But after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings, it's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm Jesse Gonzalez, Vice President of Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States? Or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me in Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Chase Kletsky joining Gene and Chris, and we're talking about investigative methods where Chris was pointing out that maybe it's a good idea to consider at least the possibility that other paranormal events have a relationship to UFOs. Do you get to the point we're arguing here, Chase?
No, not at all, because I agree with Chris, absolutely. The only thing is I would take the UFO type sightings that he referred to in the scenario before we went to break, unless you could directly connect that with the Bigfoot sightings. In other words, you see a Bigfoot come out of that a craft, then we have a direct correlation. Until then, until we have proof that they're related, although I agree, you know, all these things must be documented and considered, but I would probably investigate the UFO incident separately from the Bigfoot, and if there was reason to believe that there was a direct connection, then I would take that further. So he's right, but we see this a lot with the different fields. And in my book, I also talk that, you know, having that open mind, because I've actually been to UFO cases where what was described to me clearly fit more of a paranormal situation. And we've gone forward with that avenue, and things worked out great. So you do it's the responsibility you take as an investigator, basically how far you want to go and study, and because a lot of this is study and research.
Yeah. You know, we do have we didn't have much time to put up a thread at Question Bank on the Paracast forum at forum.theparacast.com. This is where our listeners and forum members can ask questions of our guests. And Honeypot here has an interesting question that relates to, as he puts it, or she puts it, I think. You've always said your now famous giant triangle sighting in Tennessee was too good to be true. Why don't you, first of all, give us, we'll take this particular personal case, and then start picking it apart a little bit here. And he has a whole list of questions. They're very interested in finding out more about this particular event. So you had a really riveting triangle sighting, it sounds like.
I did. It was 2010 in a very, very rural area of Tennessee. And what Honeypot was referring to was this night was crazy. You know, I went to a witness house with another investigator, and the thing that I kind of fall into every once in a while is you never expect to become a witness. We usually are investigating these things after the fact. So, you know, going out to the witness's house, although he was quite excited that evening that he was already seeing things that always led into bigger events and bigger sightings for the evening, which is why we jumped in our car and went out to his house. What happened that evening was we had a witness that originally reported orange orbs. And as, of course, interviewing the witness and talking to him further, more and more information would come out that, you know, they were chasing these down these dirt roads and these country roads, which I thought was fascinating because how many times do you hear that these balls of light or these orange orbs are, you know, maneuvering in a way that you can actually chase them down a road and follow them? So there was a lot of interesting aspects. But there was a time in the interview where he mentioned the big triangles, and I had an appointment to go out and see him a couple days from when I got this phone call. So we had an appointment on like a Saturday or Sunday, and I got a call on a Thursday, and he said, "You need to come out now because things are already happening, and this is always what leads into the bigger things." So I did. I jumped in the car, ran up to Memphis, got another investigator, and, you know, we hightailed it to his house. When we got there, we pulled up in his driveway, and he was very, very excited to see us. And immediately as we got out of the car, just walked us to the end of his driveway and pointed out over his backyard up in the sky. And he was telling us to, you know, look up there. Do you see this? And he's pointing things out. And at first it was a little difficult. But then I'm making it out and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's like these little lights and, you know, they're popping in and they're kind of grouping and maneuvering together. It's something that I'd never really seen before. So I was excited. And it's almost like they were performing. Like a military, you know, like the Blue Angels or something practicing, you know, where they're all in formation, then they break off, and then they come back and retry that same drill. Well, then he looks, he goes, oh, there's another bunch. And I look over to the witness, and he's pointing, you know, to the left, more to the left part of the sky, and sure enough, there's another group. Well, during this time, it's getting darker, so now it's easier to see these. And I'm just fascinated. I remember looking at the other witness and, you know, I'm about ready to happy dance. You know, I'm keeping my professional demeanor, but I'm ready to break it out because I'm loving this. But at the same time, I'm, you know, looking at my tablet. I'm trying to, looking at Stellarium, you know, what's up there, what should be up there that we know of, what else could this be? I don't like satellite apps because, you know, is China really going to tell us where their satellites are? Or, you know, even ours, is the NSA going to say? So I really don't focus too much on those type of apps. But I kind of looked anyway because I couldn't believe what I'm seeing up here. Well, it wasn't too long, maybe 45 minutes we stood there, and then he suggested we go into his cornfield because it was about 100 acres right down the road. And the corn at this time, because this is April, May time frame, and the corn was only about 4 or 5 inches high and very pliable, so we could drive, walk, and it wasn't going to hurt the crops. But he said that's where we could get this humongous panoramic view. So sure enough, we're like, let's go. We jump in his truck. He takes us down here, and honestly, guys, it's the biggest cornfield I've ever seen. You know, this little girl from Rhode Island. I'm like, you own all this? It was crazy. But we do. We maneuver. He drives the truck into the field, and we maneuver further into the middle of it. And I'm setting up all my equipment, you know, tri-field meters, you know, all the compasses. I had, you know, four different cameras, different makes and models. I'm setting all, you know, my little bag out because I love that stuff. And all of a sudden the witness says, oh, my gosh, I think this is it. Chase, here it comes. And I remember looking up and I see a light off in the distance. And what surprised me is I expected to see the little dots in the sky like we had seen earlier. And that's not what it was. It was clearly like a plane coming at you when you see that headlight and you're thinking, ooh, what's that light? And then it turns and it's clearly a plane. It was almost that bright, but it was definitely a white light and it's like heading towards us. So I'm standing there watching. I'm kind of leaning down, grabbing my camera at the same time. And I noticed two more white lights pop in behind it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's three of them now. Well, as the craft started getting closer, it was that you could clearly see it's no longer three different lights or three different crafts. It was one big one with these three lights. And I honestly just remember just standing there absolutely blown away because I'm looking at this object come near us and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's that triangle. Like we've heard about these and it's right there. It, unbelievable. And the way it moved was very, very odd because it wasn't flying. It wasn't being pulled. It wasn't floating or drifting, but those are probably the better words for it. But the way it moved was completely different. Absolutely silent. This craft, literally, as it comes closer to us, you start seeing the outline of the triangle, especially against the stars in the background. And it flies right over our head. Well, I'm frustrated, guys, because I'm reaching down, I'm pulling up my equipment, and nothing is working. Like, everything is just dead. My first thought was, we just had battery drain, this is common, and, you know, paranormal, Bigfoot, you know, all the phenomena. And I'm like, son of a... So I was very, very aggravated. I did manage...
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And to be an investigator, and for me... This is the first, I've seen things I can't explain. Absolutely. I've been doing it for almost 24 years. But when you're standing there seeing something that blatant, it was big, it was ominous, it was right there, and I have nothing. Like my cameras, all four of them, nothing's working. Well, eventually, you know, it's flying off. Nobody's really saying anything. I think I mentioned I was going to throw this blanking camera across the field. I was so frustrated. But we're really not saying anything. And as the craft gets further away, I remember picking up my camera and just trying again. And actually, I have a few shots of it leaving, but I don't have those close-ups.
Let's stop and do a break.
Okay.
All right. This is a good cliffhanger time. So let's hang the cliff. We have Chase Kletsky with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.